I'm not sure there was an official call in order, but I'm not sure.
Actually, I think we did have an official call in order, so.
So Craig did that, so.
It says Chairman Shudo should be Chairman Gallagher.
I think those are the six questions.
The only thing I would suggest is that the following candidates were interviewed. They should be placed, I think, in the order of the interview. I think that would be appropriate. And I don't think it was in this order. I think it was Eric, Tony, I think Jim was last.
No, Ann should have been last.
No, that's right. Yeah, we had to call for it. Okay.
Ann was, yeah.
Okay, so it was Eric.
And
Jim, Tony.
Yeah.
There's also members of council.
That's a good point.
John Batson, President. Yeah.
Okay, so the
Diary was there, Dean was there.
There, yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Dean Lamberson and Barry Elmer were there, along with John.
Okay, so under staff present where it says none. Let's go ahead and identify who was present for the meeting. It would have been Barry.
Commissioner Barry.
Commissioner Barry.
Yeah.
Commissioner Barry. Commissioner Barry. Mayor Dean.
Yeah, Mayor Dean.
Mayor Dean.
And John Batson.
And John Batson.
I'll get those from Casey then and get that changed.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of a special meeting with those changes added.
Second. Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. For the regular meeting, January 5th, 2010, again, change the chairman to Gallagher.
At the regular meeting, Dean was present again as that, and so was Barry.
And Commissioner Dean, or Mayor Dean and Commissioner. Step that we would want to take, and that was that the city or the town had to identify a specific area that they would want to have included in the study, and that would have to be submitted then to Progress Energy for a cost analysis. So the next step would have been the town has to decide what they want to do. I believe that was at the very end of the conversation.
I
Under new business on page 5 of 6, it has only I had made a comment. I believe other people made comments too before our vote regarding recommending the appointment of Jim Bartlett. Because right now all we have is that I made the only comment. So I don't know if anybody remembers.
I remember making a comment that it was a tough choice and Jim seemed to be the best selection, something like that.
Sure.
I believe everybody had a comment about that. So I think that should be identified in all four members.
I think it was unanimous.
It was unanimous, and we all expressed, I think, that it was a tough choice, but...
It was tough, so many times in the gym.
Yes. Motion to approve?
Motion to approve minutes.
Second?
And with the changes.
With the changes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay. Approval of the minutes have been passed. Okay, we're on old business right now. Discussion on grants available to town for purposes of burying power lines. This obviously has been carried over from the presentation with Progress Energy. Is there anything new related to that, or do we want to carry that to the next one?
Attached is...
I guess Casey.
Something from Jim.
Contacted.
Yeah.
The ball.
Talked about some potential grants.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that there was an email exchange regarding how they were contacted and whether the city has or they are charged for this effort and things like that. Is anybody aware of
it? It was Tim Fuller who emailed
Tim Fuller
who asked about if there's a charge for this. But I think it was Casey who indicated that this company was willing to help out looking for grants.
Does anybody know the status of, you know, what's come of this email?
No. I don't.
I might suggest, I mean, this is, I think, a critically important issue. I think probably I would recommend that we ask guidance from the town council as to whether they want to kind of take over responsibility to pursue these sort of things or whether they want to delegate the planning commission to do that. I mean, I feel nervous about pushing forward on this and talking with Marlon and company and kind of pursuing this, you know, without guidance from the town council.
Where are these? You know where they're located?
It's odd.
There's just no address on it.
Yeah. At the end here, he talks the phone number 202 is not local.
They're in D.C. on the last page of the email from Casey.
Oh, okay.
So, and the letter is directed to the mayor, so I, you know, again,
that's a pretty expensive brochure from Concerned Present, wasn't it?
I mean, this looks very interesting. I mean, it's something I think we ought to pursue, but I think we should.
Where's she from?
I mean, because they're talking about inserting it into appropriations bills, you know, which is different than the budget. I mean, that's an appropriation.
It'd be a nice way to go if we could get the right political people involved, but it's like you said, it's addressed to the mayor. Casey's been involved, so we probably need more guidance as a commission. How do we proceed? Do we need to proceed, or will someone else proceed, or do they need a committee to proceed?
I would recommend that we table this, and then we ask guidance from the town council as to whether they want to take the lead in continuing this conversation or whether they want the planning commission to take the lead in continuing this conversation. But also say that it seems like a very good opportunity related to possibly appropriation and identification of grants.
They do have a little information. John, didn't you send them an email? That they were requiring 1,200 feet minimum?
Yeah, sure.
Was it something like that? That would be 1,200 foot of road.
Before they even start considering it was like 1,200 feet or something.
Which wouldn't be too hard. Get foot, you know, from the red light, you did foot fishing north and south and K, east and west. You could probably pick that 1,200 feet.
Initially, I was thinking of. It only makes common sense, but I don't want to tackle B1, just to tire B1 first.
Any other recommendations on this? Barry, just because you weren't here, the recommendation that we have on this letter from Marlowe and company, it really kind of started in the planning commission. There's reference to the planning commission in it, but it's the letter's directed to the mayor. And so I think we're asking...
Marlowe, the lobbying group.
Yeah, the lobbying group. We're asking guidance from the town council as to whether the council wants to take the lead in pursuing, you know, discussions with Marlowe and grants for burying the power line, or whether you want the planning commission to do that. Because we're not quite sure who should be pushing forward from this point in time. So I think that's going to be, that's our recommendation. We haven't voted on it yet, but you were out there, so I want to make sure that you understood.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, what do you think, in your opinion, would be the most likely to get us what we need?
Well, I think it's just initiating the conversation with them, you know, talking with them, so with some voice of authority, you know, as to this is what we're interested in, what can you do for us, is there a cost associated with this, and you're going to come down and make a presentation. You know, what are the options and all those things. I think somebody's got to initiate that conversation.
So are you saying that it would probably be a good idea for Marlowe to come to our next meeting?
Don't know. You know, somebody should call him and contact him and talk to him.
Well, I can call him and contact him. It's no problem. I'd be happy to.
Well, I'm kind of looking at it. It's up to council to decide, because
do we want to proceed? Right. Do we want to proceed with this or not? That's what we're asking. This is part of our agenda item on grants for burying power lines.
I don't think this would be a council item personally, because they would be the one to decide its own.
Well, yeah, I mean,
part of any expenditure.
Right. So we should table this. Say, you know, the letter went to the mail. Casey's been involved. How does the council want to proceed? Do they want us to get involved, or do they want to do some other way to get involved? We can't make that decision for that.
Okay. So there's a motion to table with comments to the town council about clarification of responsibilities and follow-up. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Second item on the old business is amendment to signed ordinance. Last time we, you know, again, we kind of talked about it in terms of issues related to amortization and so forth. You know, we keep pushing this off. We had talked about maybe starting to look at it more seriously about trying to clean up some of the concerns and, you know, bring something back to the town council. Is that something that we want to work on tonight? Or do we want to focus on maybe comments regarding some of these economic studies and table this till next?
Well, the last meeting, I think I had mentioned that it pertains to commercial sizes, not just B1. And the list of sizes that we had was B1, and that was going to be John's homework to go out and measure all the rest.
I have not completed that for you.
Okay. Because we need to, I also mentioned last month that we need to work on the changeable copy. The percentage doesn't seem to be working out.
Right.
So I would say we table it until we get that.
Okay, so it's a motion to table that item for the next meeting, and maybe kind of with an understanding that, you know, let's try to push ahead and take some time out next meeting to really kind of push ahead on the sign ordinance issues.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Number three on the zoning overlay district, application for the committee has been received. I think there's two applications, but no further action has been taken. You know, I have to plead apology on that one. I think that was kind of thrown to me, and I haven't done much in the zoning overlay district. Didn't do much up until last month because there was, you know, we didn't know the role of the Economic Development Committee and all that sort of thing. But I haven't done anything this month. Is there any discussion on this? Is this something we want to kind of push ahead with? I do know that there's some recommended changes in terms of appointment process, who can be appointed to committees and all that sort of thing. Do we need to wait until that's resolved before we form another committee that I think is a very important committee looking at zoning overlay? Or do we want to, you know, form a committee in the next week or two?
Is there any question about how committees form? We did. I run them over there.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel. Yeah, if we proceed, we need to know how to form it.
It's up there now.
Probably again, table until we find out.
Okay. There's been a motion to table number three with no action until I think the committee membership issues have been resolved. So, okay, any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, number four, impervious surfaces. The ordinance was sent to the council. There's a public hearing scheduled for February 16th at 5:30. Is there any action that we have to take on this, or is this more of kind of an information item?
That was an informational item.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Am I allowed to?
Sure.
I didn't think of this until we already went through it all, and it'll probably come up in the public hearing, but how does this affect a lot that's at the end of the block where you have to give up 10 feet to the town? So we've been talking about 5 feet easement. Well, I'm a lot owner on a corner lot. A corner lot, I have to give up 10 feet on the corner. So how does this affect that? Am I still only allowed 5 feet, I guess? I mean, my own, your strip on that side.
You'll get, if you have a 10-foot setback, you'll have increased coverage. You know, you still get 15%.
So I can cover more because I can't. Okay.
Well, you could because your area you live in, but yeah. Other people could.
Well, I just wondered how it affected corner lots.
You won't be affected as far as the driveway because that's about all you can have anyway, is 36 feet. However, you can still have 15% of the setback covered.
Yeah, it's a percentage. Okay. So that would be okay. I got you. I just want to make sure a lot of corner lot. It didn't affect me personally, but
right.
Corner lots are.
It's a good question.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. There's no action to be taken on that. That's an informational. Town home definition, number five. I believe we do have some. Paul, were you going to talk? John, going to have anything more on that? I think you weren't you going to kind of do a little background work on that?
I did. I sent a memo by email, and I don't know if word got it. I can.
Yeah.
You should have it in your packets.
I haven't had a chance to read it, but I can see it there.
Because Holt has this great ability to send me a memo a day after I've run the agenda.
Just in time.
It's next to the last.
It is. It's
next to that section.
So I have one here. I can make some copies of
that. I go from signs to procedures.
I don't have it behind time.
I did see the email, registered, but I didn't.
Oh, you know, one of you did pick up your packet before.
Well, I picked mine on Monday.
I'm going to get my packet today.
You picked yours up first. That's right. You should have it, Jim.
Behind the time?
I don't have it behind
the
time.
You have
any ready copies?
I just took this out. Is this here?
No, that's
general
procedures.
Procedures.
I don't have it.
I'm sorry.
No, my fault.
Would you come?
Nice. Hey, you come back.
This just all starts things like the one that they make. I read it on Almighty, but.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Craig, did you not have one?
I didn't have one.
Tim, did you have one?
Yes, I did.
You did.
Hold on, when I read the definition of a townhouse, and I look at the first two, it says separated by property lines under NC State Residential Code. Beaufort is separated by property lines. Are they referring to a property line that separates the two units? Is that what they're referring to? It's obvious that that's the case on the Randolph County definition. But on those two, are they referring to a property line that separates those two units from each other? Or are they referring to the building being separated from by property lines from other buildings?
I took it to mean just that that the wall between the two units was a property line.
Okay. So that's how I would interpret the town hall, what I said last time. Is the way I've interpreted it is exactly that, that there's a separation of property. The two units, even though they're attached, are on separate plots of land. The town halls. Like a duplex.
And that would seem to be the case. I think, you know, my thing was that that property line could continue on and separate the yard as well, or it might end up in the front and the back of the building.
At the unit, right. And then the remaining property would be the homeowners association.
Right.
Again, like your
if the property lines didn't extend on from the building, exactly. So I guess the long and short of this was that looking at it further, I didn't really see any barriers to, you know, referring to, you know, the two different scenarios of duplex or the two main scenarios, you know, as a townhouse.
In your research, and again, because this is something I spent years dealing with in California, where duplexes were not on commonly owned land. From your reading here, you could have duplexes on commonly owned land. Like exactly what we have that are identified as condominiums, where you know the parcel is commonly owned by the two parties that own, and there's technically a homeowners association that's responsible for that. We can call that a duplex by your understanding.
I didn't find anything to indicate in North Carolina that you could not call that a duplex. It seems to be a rather broad, kind of general, you know, almost any two-unit structure has been treated as a duplex.
So by that, if we follow that, given that there seems to be an insurance slash financing issue with the word condominium, and if we were to change condominium to a duplex, given that they wouldn't have to change anything, really, in terms of the ownership structure or anything like that. It could be exactly what it is. We're just changing the name to a duplex. And that would assist them then in financing and insurance reasons. You don't see any cost associated with that.
I don't see a problem with that. There's something in the statute called the Unit Owners Act, as well as the Condominium Act. And so I think that would give some structure, you know. And again, that's really something more that the owner's attorneys would need to come up with if they have, you know, covenants pertaining to their homeowners association. But I guess what I'm saying is there's a statutory framework out there that's still available without it having to be a condominium. And it's this, you know, this Unit Owners Act, and it talks about, it provides a lot of the same framework that a condominium does. And it really might be interesting to have, I think they mentioned Mr. Calder, who's a real estate attorney that's been doing real estate for years and years. You know, he might address it from a little different perspective, but
Brother Calder.
Yeah, he seems to, according to his client, say, you know, that he sees, you know, no problem with it.
If we were to kind of change the definitions, because we'd have to go through a number of different things and change wording. If we were to change the definitions, to me it sounds like a duplex is a two-unit condominium, basically. And a condominium is three or more units, even though some of these definitions say two or more units. But the clean, you could say a duplex is a two units, you know, attached, you know, where a condominium is three or more. If we were to change all the documents in Kiri Beach to reflect that terminology change, and then put in a definition of townhome, which I think is a good definition because we actually have those here in Kiri Beach Village. As far as you know, that's just simply some definitional and wording changes. It wouldn't really affect anything that we have to do, or John, affect it, anything that you'd have to do?
I haven't been able to identify anything. Do you know anything?
What if I have now in Kiri Beach, I don't know if there is such a thing, but if I have now something that's labeled a condominium and it's a two-family dwelling?
Call it duplex.
We'll just call it a duplex and it wouldn't affect them?
No, but once it turns into a townhome, that's when the building code comes into play.
Yeah.
But we only have, only in Kiri Beach Village do we have townhomes by these definitions. Where you have individual, you have attached units that have individual parcel ownership, either under the footprint, which is what Kiri Beach Village is, or from property line. You know, I mean, we don't. Kiri Beach Village is the only place we have that in Kiri Beach.
Well,
the definition of a townhome.
Right, and that was getting ready to be my question. You're talking about just changing the definition, and that should fix everything. However, how am I going to regulate whether or not they subdivide the lot to create two separate parcels? In other words, we have two separate 25 by 100 lots. And so
this is would be on now what we'd be calling duplexes. If somebody wanted to go in and divide those,
is that going to fix the problem though? If we just call them duplexes?
Well, no, they still couldn't divide them because that's not a count. See, a duplex wouldn't be divided.
I understand that part, but is that going to fix the problem that we're facing with the insurance and the
Well, I mean, what I was proposing was that you could basically call either one of these scenarios a townhome, which is, I think, what that gentleman that CS was proposing. Instead of having, I mean, and I could be wrong, but I'm contending that all of these really could be called duplexes, and that is not going to have a lot of legal significance. It's basically, are they going to be called a townhome or a condominium? And then, you know, my contention was they could be called a townhome either way, instead of a condominium.
I don't think that that's, I don't think that that's right, because the issue of a townhome is that you have separate property ownership under each unit, even though they're attached. Okay? And you can have that in two ways. You can either just have it under the footprint, okay, like Cherry Beach Village, or you can draw a line down the wall and continue it to the front, the back property line, and separate that into two smaller, you know, 25-foot by 100-foot lots. And that's only for townhome. You can do that. A duplex is where you have common ownership of the total land between the owners, but you're just calling it a duplex because it's like our condominiums right now. We're calling it a condominium. We're just going to change the name to a duplex if there's two units, but you're not allowing individual property ownership underneath those in duplex. That's the way I read these definitions here. And if it's a condominium, it's common ownership of land with three or more units attached. And I think he was saying that his big concern is if you call it a townhome, to stop calling it a condominium. That if you call it a duplex, then that gets you out of this insurance and financing problem.
And I may have misunderstood what he was asking. I was thinking he was asking whether he could call what we have been calling a condominium. And I think, as I understood it, he was just talking about two-unit complexes. So the three or more is not, I guess, was not his concern. But that could what we've been calling two-unit condominiums be treated as townhouses.
Yeah, and I thought he was also saying it could be treated as a duplex. Because your definition of townhouse would demand that there be separate property beneath it. I mean, the way you define it that would have to be split into two units.
And my understanding was that either one he was looking at would have separate properties, whether it was the yard as a common area or two separate yards.
What kind of legal requirements would that fall under if we were to call this a duplex and they did go to an attorney to get two separate owners? How's that going to be used? Are we going to have a plat? How would that all work?
I would think you would have a plat with the two. The two footprints, let's take the one where you've got a common area yard first. I think you'd have a plat with essentially three parcels, the two footprints of the units and the yard. And my understanding is that has not been treated as a problem in terms of the minimum lot size, because you're not technically
that basically creates a townhouse right there.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you have individual parcels underneath the unit, whether it's on footprint or, then it becomes a townhome. But what he was talking about is you have the two-unit condominium right now, which has common ownership of all the land. And there's a structure on it, and because it's a condominium, technically the ownership of the individuals is in the interior walls and so forth. Technically, the exterior walls are still owned by the homeowners association, even though it's only two. But I thought what he was saying is that by calling it a condominium, it creates problems for financing. And he was looking to call it something else, whether to call it a townhome or whether to call it a duplex or anything like that. So,
if maybe that we want to get him back with his attorney and he can specify, maybe even they could, if it's that important, then they can come up with a proposal and we can scrutinize that.
Here's a note show here in the last meeting. It said that said there are two minimum requirements. Number one was no single owner can own more than 30% of a condo. So naturally, you got two owners, they own 50%. That was one of his problems. Mm-hmm. And it says, if this is a townhome, everyone violates this. And the second one is no more than 30% can be held for investment. So it has to do with a 50-50 split, which is
That's the definition of a condo. If you have, if you don't meet those things in a condo, then there's a financing issue. Okay, but if you call it a duplex, then you wouldn't fall under these
these concerns, because it's a duplex.
That's what I think you would have.
So are we talking about taking the definition of condominium completely out of ordinance?
No, leave the definition of condominium as three or more attached units with common ownership of the land. A duplex is two attached units with common ownership of the land. And a townhome is two attached units with individual plots under each one of the units. I mean, that's how I...
That's what we're talking about building right now.
That's what I kind of I perceive it. You know, looking at Holt's definition of a townhome, which is ownership of the land underneath the units of attached units. Duplexes are condominiums, but only two units with common ownership of everything. So it's just a duplex. Call it a condominium duplex.
So basically, there's two different ways you can do it if you own two units, and there's two different ways you can do it if you own three units or more.
I guess. Well, no, there's only one way with three units or more. That
it's got to be a condominium.
It'd have to be a condominium. And when you have two units, you could either have a duplex
or a townhome.
Or a townhome, but the difference is property ownership underneath the
units. Got that part. Well, it's like you just said, Kerry B. Fields has townhome, though.
Yeah, but that's individual property owner underneath.
Right.
You know, I own...
So those are more than three units, aren't they?
Actually, some of them are four, right. You have two and four.
That was where I was going.
Okay, right. You're right.
So there'll be a condominium.
So, in other words, there's two options for two units, and there's two options for three units and more.
Right. I guess if they have individual property ownership, it's a townhome. If you don't have individual property ownership, if it's two units, you call it duplex. If it's three or more, you call it a condominium.
But what keeps a person from trying to split that property up? And I think that's where John was touching on a while ago.
Because all they're going to own is the property directly
in the footprint of the building.
Correct.
But then they'd have to convert it to a duplex into a townhome. See, for them to split it up to own the property, like take something that has common ownership.
And but you don't want that to happen then. You don't want to create non-conforming lots.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, it wouldn't happen anyway, but if for some reason somebody wanted to do that, it would have to be converted from a duplex to the townhome, but to do that, name change would also require creating parcels underneath, which would be non-conforming lots.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't allow it anyway.
Well, doesn't he say in here it's okay if you call it, he would be okay if it was called duplex?
That was my impression.
Yeah. That's what it said.
Yeah.
He said that.
Yeah.
Could you call it duplex?
And that's not with me. My concern is, though, is how is this going to be deeded? Because I guarantee you the first time this happens, I'm going to get a plaque coming in that's got a solid line through the entire lot of two separate parcels.
And then it's not a duplex.
That's the way it's going to come in. And my question is how...
Why would it come in that way? I mean, if it's called duplex.
You'd be surprised.
Alan says you just wouldn't approve it because you can't split lots up.
So, how am I to instruct these developers and these attorneys to draw this document up?
Just like they're doing the condominiums right now. It's one lot.
And we're just calling it duplex.
We're just calling it duplex. So we're just taking what we call a two-unit duplex, or a two-unit condo, and calling it a duplex.
We've got to take a gray area out for John to go in the book right here to describe to him.
Well, look, I guess one question I have is when somebody does that, they actually split it into two lots. Are there lots here that would satisfy the minimum lot requirement?
No. Okay.
Yeah, because I think that's where that runs into an obstacle. To me, if you're drawing the line all the way down the property, down the middle of the property, and it would normally, you know, bisect the two units too, then you've created two lots.
I bet I've turned 50 of them back into attorney lot.
Saying that it won't. Yeah. And see, right. I know that's not the direct issue, but as a practical matter, if that creates two lots and they're not compliant with the minimum lot size,
they don't approve.
Then you can't approve it regardless right. What you call it, you know, because it creates two lots that are too small.
Well, how are they going to, okay, let's say somebody comes in with a brand new duplex and they bring me the plat, they want me to sign off on it, and they call it a duplex, and it's designed the same way as a condo plat would be.
Sign off on it. It's just called a duplex.
Well, what about your condo adoption declaration that everyone needs?
I realize we're hashing through a lot of this kind of for the first time tonight, and I haven't had a chance to evaluate that. To me, in North Carolina, the duplex title is more of a blanket, generic title. It doesn't have as much...
and legal significance. I mean, to me, if we're selling either one with the footprint and the common area yard, or the one where the lot is split in half, I think I would think you could call it a townhouse. And then you could, and then the declarations would probably refer to this unit under Act, which is similar to the Condominium Act. And so it would come through and be treated essentially like a condominium.
But we're not going to have any more of those. That's simply to create, I mean, we have a huge village, but given our lot size right now, we're not going to have any more townhomes by that definition. You know, because that would require non-conforming lots for anything future. It's just simply cleaning up the language.
You can't do it.
You can't do it.
Right.
You know, even though we define it that way, there's just, we're not going to have any of those because it creates non-conforming lots. So it really is, you know, you got a conforming lot, you put two units on it, what we call it a two-unit condo, we just call it a two-unit duplex. And maybe you can link it somehow in the language to the Condominium Act for the rules and regulations. And if it's three or more, you call it a condo.
Well, the reason I'm asking all this is if we go ahead and decide to do this, we go to the public hearing and change all that, and we find out, well, hell, you can't have somebody come through and there's no legal way to put you a duplex and design it the same way a condo is. That's the reason I'm asking all this. Because in my opinion, in my experience, it's either a condo or a townhouse, period. That's the way it's plotted. A duplex has just always been a general term to me, like you said, it's a blanket term.
Well, and I mean, I don't know that it couldn't be called a duplex or a townhouse, either one, but, you know, that's why I think it might be helpful to, you know, have the attorney that is really advocating that position. I mean, I'm trying to evaluate whether it's workable for somebody that has a, you know, his ox is getting gored, you know.
Well, that's very useful. Fisher, do you have a comment?
I just wondered how this was going to solve the gentleman's problem. Like Timothy said, you know, something about it wouldn't solve his problem until there was a quadruplex. You know,
no,
25%, whatever.
That was the definition of condominium.
When he goes in and says he has a condo, they can't get financing because of these rules. You can't own more than 30% of it, those sort of things.
Right.
If you go in and call it a duplex, those requirements won't apply because at the bank you're not calling it a condo. So it solves his financial problems because he's not going to be called a condo and then they're going to pull out these rules. That was my sense about his whole concern had to do with going in and you call this thing a condo and then these rules kick in and then you can't get financing or insurance. So they call it a duplex and they're not going to.
I guess what I don't understand is currently, and as far as long as I know, anytime you build a duplex, you know, two-family dwelling on one lot, it had to go through the condominium, whatever it is, at the state level or whatever it is that had to happen. So that both owners actually had a small condominium, you know, that they talked about to each other, you know, on the outside exterior, they'd have to chip in the paint, et cetera, et cetera. If a storm happened, like, you know, then one was responsible for the repairs on one side, and one was responsible for the repairs on the other. But I'm not sure how that affects this gentleman's predicament.
Well, his predicament is the banking regulations that have changed. So whatever we did in the past just isn't working because they changed banking regulations.
Yeah. His predicament is when somebody hears condo, they're thinking 40, 50, 100 homes sitting here in a complex.
Nope.
And they're trying to regulate him based on thinking that's a big complex. And he says, hey, you know, I only own one half of this two-building complex, and that's all I own. And they can't get through that. That's the issue.
And then the rules say you can't own 30%, so he's at 50%.
Right, yeah. I mean,
but we have to change his name to duplex, then he owns 50%, it's cut and right.
Yeah.
What's the building? What's the code difference between townhouse?
Condo requires a 1 hour power wall, townhouse requires 2 hour.
So right now they require 1 hour, duplex is a building.
Yeah.
And so what happens if we call it a duplex?
Well, most of them, and I believe you built a duplex, didn't you?
It's been so long, I don't know.
Most of them have built them to townhouse standards, believe it or not.
So if we call it a duplex, then leave the common area on the same, just change it to a duplex.
1 hour.
But that's the only change, 1 hour or 2 hours. So it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if somebody wanted to change theirs to a townhome, the first thing I'm going to ask for is an engineer's report.
Commissioner.
Wouldn't that all it take would be to, you know, put another, slap another coat of drywall on it?
No. Go all the way through the attic.
Right.
Go all the way up through the attic wall.
But nobody would convert a two-unit condo, or what I would call a duplex, to a townhome, because we wouldn't allow that, because that would need to have a non-conforming lot associated with it. So we wouldn't approve it. I mean, no one's going to go through that process. All we're doing, I think, is simply saying that if you got a two-unit thing that we call now a condo, we'll call that two-unit condo a duplex. So when they go to the bank and say, I got a duplex, you know, they still have to satisfy all the requirements, the condo requirements. It's simply a terminology issue. So when they go to the bank and they apply for a loan, they can say, under the definition of Kiri Beach, this is a duplex, not a condo.
Why don't we, we're not going to subdivide any lot. So the only thing that we can do right now is make it a duplex. We can change it to a duplex. It's common area owner. Go back to that homeowner that was here last week, well, last month. Tell him this is what we can do. Tell him to call his attorney and have them come back.
Okay.
It does. I mean, we shouldn't really spend much more.
Well, I think it's good to clean up our own personal idea.
But, I mean, for us to figure out the banking regulations and everything else for private homeowners, I mean, let them do it. Come back to us and then we'll say yes or no.
Is this a presentation away from taking back a loan? Mm-hmm. Based on our contract?
So can you do that, Joe?
Absolutely.
But I think it's good to kind of clear up these issues for our discussion.
Does it have to do with insurance, too? Yeah.
My understanding is it has to do with insurance, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there a motion to table this item and request that John contact a homeowner to come back, possibly with his attorney?
Motion.
Okay, second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Number six is the informational item. I don't think there's any motion on that. That the council table the P&Z's recommendation to the February meeting. Number seven, appointment of the vice chair. This issue was tabled at the January meeting.
Excuse me, Craig. Since I've been out of town for a couple of weeks, I'm a little behind on the table and the recommendation on the vacancy right there, and I just read some stuff in the paper about it. I know I was the one that recommended that we